Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, hosted by Amber Jeffrey, the podcast dedicated to having difficult and layered conversations on grief and loss. Through my own personal reflections on grief, inspirational guest appearances, and contributions from the incredible community, you will find an array of real, authentic, moving, and at most times humorous accounts of what it's really like to live with grief. It's not always doom and gloom, I promise you that. We know how to have fun whilst talking about the heavy stuff around here. So, welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. Hello and welcome back to your bonus episode of the Grief Gang podcast. Thank you for joining me again this week. This week is going to be, I'm really going to keep it short and simple this week, because I have decided to bring back for this week's bonus episode the death dilemmas. And I've mentioned it, I think, a few bonus episodes ago of what I used to do with the death dilemma episodes in like previous seasons, where I'd dedicate, I think, like whole kind of episodes to them. And not that that wasn't fun, or, you know, it wasn't something I found difficult. I just thought having them in a shorter, compact episode is maybe a bit more fun, and just, like I said, a little bit more compact, and just something to quickly digest on this Sunday afternoon, if you're listening to it on Sunday, or if you're starting it on Monday, you know, just a little bite-sized Grief Gang episode. Well, before I get into that, I'm feeling like, you know, a few things to just, I guess, waffle about and chat about before I get into the dilemmas. And if you do, you know, after listening to this episode, or you think you have a death dilemma that you want to share and want to share it here on the podcast and let me have a crack at it, please do email me at thegriefgang@gmail.com. My email will be in the show notes. And if you want, you can share it there. Or, you know, keep an eye out on my social media, as I sometimes put anonymous question boxes up there. Because, like I've said before, I so understand that, you know, even, you know, you might not want to put your name to something, like it can feel scary and a bit like, oh, they'll know that that's my dilemma and that's how I'm feeling or what I've been thinking. So I so understand if you just want that anonymity. Slow that word right down. Anonymity. There we go. But before I get into the dilemma, so if you want to write in, you know where to do that and how to do that. Before I get into that, I feel like keeping it real, you know, and keeping it a buck. Like, I you know, this spring, I'm so welcoming in this spring. Like, I feel like a lot of us do, you know, really struggle, especially like here in the UK. Sorry that I feel like I'm always talking about the weather, but in tune with the weather. I think a lot of people are, you know, well, we're affected by the weather. And so I feel like with this spring now coming here in the UK, like I'm really welcoming it. And kind of the actual like physical, the physicality of that, of kind of, yeah, moving from like the physicality in my body of moving from winter into spring and kind of, you know, winter very much, you know, the decaying of, you know, the environment around us, and kind of just winter feels quite, it feels quite synonymous with grief and kind of just really, you know, trudging through treacle over the last few months. And like, it's been hard for real, you know, since Poppy dying and then entering winter and then, you know, starting thinking about doing the podcast again, coming back with this season and then starting a business. Like, there's some days where I sit and I think, oh my God, I don't know how we're doing it. And that's not even in a way of like, oh my God, I don't know how we're doing it, I'm so proud. It's like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm doing this sometimes. And I'm not saying this for a sympathy vote at all. I'm just trying to keep it real here on the podcast. I feel like I've maybe not been doing that in recent seasons, I'd say. Maybe probably hiding behind guest episodes and being, you know, choosing what I want to show up and say here. And that's why the bonus episodes, I think, feel a bit more of a tell all, or kind of, I hope maybe, you know, for any of you who've been long time listeners, that these bonus episodes might feel kind of quite like nostalgic, and like the very early episodes where I kind of would just press go on the mic and just see what would come out, and kind of these bonus episodes are that. So, you know, I've not got much more to say on that today, but I just kind of wanted to, I don't know the aim of wanting to say that, but just that, like, it's been a lot. It's been a lot for the past 3 months, but coming back to the podcast and kind of really reflecting of what I wanted it to be and how I wanted it to be for me and how I wanted to use it for me as well. Like, these bonus episodes have been a real kind of, I think, saving grace. And of course, I love doing like the proper structured episodes, whether that's, you know, with a guest or me, and it's a bit more structured. Like, I love that. I do love formality. But these kind of bonus kitchen table talks are really, you know, good for my soul. And I hope that maybe when you hear me talking, it might spark something in you, and to have these conversations either with like yourself. Like, literally before I started this recording, I was talking to myself like in the camera, almost like just trying to hype myself up, gas myself up a little bit, because, you know, we should be our own cheerleaders, right? I say time and time again, you know, the world, it's a harsh place out there. It's a harsh place. And there's going to be critiques or people that get you down or things that will get you down. And kind of, if the one place that cannot be that is our own brain, then that would be great. I know, easier said than done sometimes. And sometimes it is our worst enemy, but that's what I'm trying to do. But all in all, I am okay. I think I'm just definitely, as this spring time is now approaching, I'm kind of reflecting, I guess, what it is. I'm reflecting on the winter season and the last, I guess, quarter, and being like, oh, wow, yeah, that was a lot. And yeah, you made it. Great. Amazing. And just kind of trying to enjoy spring and enjoy the blooming of everything, both in nature, environment, and in my life too, you know. I'm really becoming quite one with nature. And it's not trying to sound like in a fucking weird way, but like, if I feel weird, I'm like, just go outside, just get outside. And I'll just sit outside for like 30 minutes. Yeah, so that's me. I'm sorry if I sound really down there. I'm actually genuinely not. I just wanted to keep it real with you, because I feel like with me, if I was to come on here and be like, oh, blah, 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 you know, you'd tell. That's just me, and kind of how I can't lie. If my voice can't lie, if my voice can lie, my face won't lie, or my body won't lie. So all in all, to say that it's been tough, but I do feel really grateful to have this form of expression, and creative expression, because if I didn't, I don't know, you know, would I just ruminate in my head sort of thing? Anyhow, if anyone else is feeling like that, I'm sending you loads of love. And as we enter this new season, and I know that for many, you know, this new season, though it is of spring and of blooming, can actually also mean something totally different. You know, it can be the marking of the season that your loved one died in. It can be, you know, the month of, like, though I've also just said all of that, spring, you know, I'm welcoming it. It does, spring holds a whole other meaning for me, because April marked the beginning of lots of the drama and the chaos around Poppy's, you know, pre-diagnosis, before we knew what it was. So kind of the whole of spring is almost quite a juxtaposition of, yes, lovely blooming and kind of stepping into lightness. And then, yeah, this time last year, it felt like a totally different thing. So big love to anyone that is feeling like the juxtaposition of it all, because I feel ya. Shall we get into these death dilemmas? I think we should. Thank you for listening to my little brief of my life. Yeah, let's get into these death dilemmas. At the end, I've got a few things to update you on, but other than that, we're going to keep it short and we're going to keep it sweet. So, our first dilemma.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I recently lost my mum unexpectedly and at a time / in conditions where I may not have said the kindest things. It's amplified the survivor's guilt that's been eating at me. I regret not loving her perfectly, and sometimes I even feel like I killed her with sadness. Can I justify getting over that? Thank you for this person who shared that first and formally. There's so many, when I read this dilemma, when it came in and sort of sat and thought about it, I kind of, the first thing I thought of, what is loving perfectly? You know, kind of, when we think about, yeah, loving people and all people in our life, friendships, relationships, family members, what is the definition of loving perfectly? And of course, that is all relative and subjective to anybody. But when listening and reading this, like, you know, there's so many things that jumps out to it that make me want to go, you know, like, forgive yourself. And yeah, what is loving perfectly? Like, only you would know what would be loving her perfectly, like how you two love each other, you know, saying these things to someone to, you know, not make them feel like, give themselves such a hard time, but also knowing that it doesn't matter how many times, you know, someone on a podcast might say to you this, or people in your life say, like, no, you did love her perfectly, or, you know, you can forgive yourself for that. Like, it takes for actually you to believe that and actually to want that. So I wanted to cover it because, of course, when I read this, my heart just jumped out and wanted to be like, just, forgive yourself. Like, yes, you know, we can all reflect on things that we should have, could have said to our people, or changed history of, you know, erasing all of the potentially god-awful things we might have said to each other, whether in heat of a moment or in jest, whatever it might be. We, you know, sometimes wish we could go back and just erase that and be like, we never ever spoke to each other like that, we never treated each other like that. But what I'd say to that is, in to this person where they said, you know, they may not have said the kindest things, is that I know how much, you know, those thoughts can eat you up of, God, why did I say that in that argument? Or why did I say that in that conversation? Why didn't I say this in that conversation, or something like that, you know? And how much it can eat you up. And like you said yourself, it has been eating at you. Like when you said survivor's guilt, I wasn't sure on that, or just like just guilt in general. But that was just my observation. But I know how much, yeah, this person, that guilt will just, what feels like it's swallowing you whole. And with my experience of this, I remember, yeah, like this person, I would have raging guilt about the things, and reflecting on the things that me and my mum said to each other. I'm thinking, my God, like, that is just no way that a mother and a daughter should have spoken to each other, or, you know, exchanged those kind of words and not said, you know, I'm sorry, or holding accountability, you know. And then I don't know where, and this is a part I can never always pinpoint, like a timeline of where, but with time, I guess I started to stop giving myself such a hard time with it. But what helped that, I wasn't just telling myself, like, just forgive yourself, Amber. What I started to, I think, realise or sit with was that, yes, those arguments and those things that we said to each other that weren't kind, weren't cool, was at its core kind of us being honest with each other. And stick with me here. Now, some of you might be like, well, but for anyone who relates to this person who has shared this, of, you know, regretting anything they might have said, might have done in their relationships with whoever it is that they've lost, is that the way I thought of it with my mum was, at least we were honest with each other, you know, when we would have blaring arguments, when we would scream, shout at each other, at least we were honest with each other. Because I'd met people who, you know, I'm going to talk from a parent-child relationship in this circumstance of, I'd met people who, with their parents, you know, there was never ever that open honesty, that open of emotion with each other of, you've really upset me and this is how I feel, or that's really angered me and that's how I feel. And also on the other side of, that's made me feel really happy. I want you to know how that much has made me happy and I feel loved by you, etc. And so for this person who's wrote in, perhaps that might help you of knowing or trying to sit with that, yes, the guilt that we, and the things that we have said, that we have done, that we, you know, might have experienced together, is, you know, still will be there. And what I've just said won't eliminate it overnight, but perhaps maybe sitting with that, all in all of those altercations, whatever it might be, you were honest with each other, and you were honest right up until the very end, like you said, of unexpectedly, like, you were real with each other. That's what I feel like when I reflect with my mum. I think, you know what, yes, when I think of, you know, I can sit now and think back to those memories and not cringe and not feel guilt, like genuinely, hand on heart. I think that has helped with sitting with and being like, you know what, at least you were real with each other. At least you were honest. Yes, it wasn't cool. And that's not justifying it of what we said. But, you know, at least we were honest. At least I knew where I stood and she knew where she stood with me, you know. So that's the part that I think when I read this, that really came out to me, that I wanted to share with you. So I hope for that person that maybe sitting with that and reflecting on that can maybe try and alleviate some of that guilt. Like I said, it won't be overnight, but just sitting with that you had an honest relationship right up until the very end. Thank you for that person for writing in. Okay, our second dilemma and our last one. My mum died nearly 9 years ago when I was 11. I am now 20 and I feel like I grieve so differently to my brother and dad. My dad has remarried and on Mother's Day seemed surprised that I was so upset. I seem to get way more emotional on significant days and feel so different compared to them. Well, thank you again to this person who has wrote in. I could really hard relate with this one and I could just almost imagine an imagery in my mind. Obviously, I don't know who this person is, but just imagining, you know, this trio of people of kind of looking at each other, but not recognizing each other at all. And specifically for this person, kind of looking at the other two and thinking like, maybe not as extreme as I don't know you, but I don't know how to grieve with you, you know? And, you know, really resonate with me and kind of like my experience and if maybe for plenty of people who are listening too, of being in a family unit and losing a family member or someone, you know, very close to you in a family fold, and the expectation of, oh, we'll all do this the same, right? We'll all grieve for this person the same. And in this case, we'll all grieve for a mum and you know, wife in the same way because we are the closest people to her. And as time unfolds and everyone starts navigating their own ways to grieve, some do, you know, travel in the same direction and the same kind of, I guess, mode of grieving, and some, you know, just completely split and go in different ways. And I think that's quite a common experience, and just, you know, exploring of what works for you and what doesn't. You know, you're kind of all trying to lead and guide each other in a time where there is no blueprint for you all, and especially for, you know, in this case, like your dad, of, you know, losing his wife and kind of then trying to still parent as well. And, you know, this isn't me justifying or trying to, you know, to say that anyone is particularly right in this situation, but of how acknowledging, I found, again, for me, what really helped, and the people that I've spoken to and kind of shared this with, and they too have said, yeah, that's kind of been able to aid the guest, the kind of, you know, differences and the struggle with accepting those differences, is that understanding, just a clear understanding of that, yes, we are family and we are grieving for this family member, but we all had different relationships with them and we are all individual people, and therefore our grief will be individual too. And so, like, you know, grief, it's like DNA, like it is completely individual to each person. And so therefore how we grieve for a person, you know, though you may be siblings who have lost a parent, your relationship will be different to, and your experience of your relationship will be different. And that's not to say that, you know, a parent might have treated a child more in favor or not. That's not what I mean by the differences in a relationship. It's that just we all look at these people through different eyes. Some, you know, be very similar, but we are our own individuals. So therefore we will grieve in our own individual ways and our manners. And sometimes they might cross over and, you know, be in alignment with our family members, and sometimes they won't. And I'm actually going to say that is okay. That is okay. It's absolutely fine. It doesn't feel fine. I know it doesn't feel fine, but trying to come to a place of that, just because they're doing it differently, doesn't mean they're doing it wrong. And likewise for you, just because you're doing it differently doesn't mean that you're doing wrong. So that's what I kind of, yeah, want to segue into, because the part where this person said, I seem to get way more emotional on significant days and feel so different compared to them. So like I just said there, just because they maybe don't get as upset on the day doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong. And just because you are maybe a bit more emotional or showing your emotion doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong as well. It is just different. And difference is okay. And it can feel hard in a family unit where you feel like, I don't want there to be difference. I want us to be a united front on this. And it's that, you know, I think you can still be a united front. I feel like if I do reflect on with my family, we do grieve differently. And up between my brother, my dad, you know, we all have our different modes of how we grieve. But what is, I think what is different maybe is that there is a, maybe united front isn't the word, but a united respect, I think. I think before, I know definitely for me, I don't think I respected how like my dad or my brother would grieve because I just think, well, they're doing it wrong. And actually it was, no, just that's how they're doing it. And I at least owe to respect that. You know, great for them, but not for me. And that's absolutely fine. You know, being able to understand, but not agree, you know, with everything is fine, is totally fine. But yeah, I really wanted to get across in this one that, because I could feel at the end of it, yeah, off the part of, I seemed to get way more emotional, was kind of a bit like you taking, you know, a bit of a hard time on yourself of, I just feel really emotional and I just feel like everyone is telling me to kind of stop being emotional sort of thing. And absolutely not, like, it's okay to be emotional. I'm an emotional person too. And kind of, it is hard when you kind of look around, if you're the emotional, maybe more overt person and kind of no one else is, you can feel like a bit of a gooseberry in your family. But if that is the, you know, being emotional and expressing it like that is what is cathartic for you, is what is soothing, then, you know, kind of looking around and seeing that, you know, dad and brother don't do that, I really hope that doesn't, you know, squash that for you, because that is part of how you grieve and how you are processing. And, you know, potentially finding people who will hold that for you. I think that's an important part to put here as well, is that it's okay to look for the community and the spaces and the people who will, you know, maybe hold and embrace and encourage that part of you, you know, that emotional part. And not to be like people who just make you cry, but people who will, you know, embrace you. So, you know, and what's the word I am looking for? I don't know what the word I'm looking for is there, but just, oh God, my brain is frazzled sometimes. How does my brain not function sometimes like that? I bet so many of you are probably shouting like, it's this word. And I know, because I get that when I listen to podcasts, I'm like, it's that word you're looking for. God, just get it right. When I think about, yeah, my one of my biggest things was that I felt this exactly the same as well. I felt like with my dad and my brother, I couldn't really maybe express my grief how I wanted to. And then I started Grief Gang and obviously found community and was able to kind of, I guess, be validated. That's the word I'm looking for. Validated in that, yes, being emotional isn't a weakness, and that it is actually like a superpower, and it's not something to be ashamed of, and you should be, you know, proud of feeling emotional, and that you are so in tune with your emotions, you know. So for me, being able to go and get that validation somewhere else actually gave me like the empowerment to come back into like my family fold and be like, I'm an emotional one. And yes, Mother's Day still affects me. This day affects me. This is how I express it. And kind of being like, this is me and how I'm going to grieve. And however you want to as well, I'm going to respect that. And I hope that you respect my way too. And kind of, I think that has kind of worked solidly for us as a family. You know, hasn't been as big, like bold questions or like statements like that, like, this is how I'm going to grieve and like it or lump it. It's more just doing, just cracking on and just doing, right? So yeah, I think I'll leave that with that person and that dilemma of that. I just hope that above all, you know, kind of being okay with your emotional side of you, that you don't have to try and quieten that or feel that because other people aren't, that you should be like them as well. And that families do grieve differently, and that is okay because we are all individual people. But of course, to not diminish that, that can hurt because of what your expectation might have been of that. Oh, I thought we would have banded in this together and kind of done this differently. I would probably say this all the time on the podcast, but like two things can be true at the same time of that. Yes, it's okay to, you know, to come to a place of understanding that families and family members will grieve differently, but also to hold that that sucks and that does hurt a little bit, you know. I think I'll always bring that up time and time again of that there is no binary, I think, experience, no binary, you know, definition to things. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, thank you to that person for writing in. I really appreciate it. So, you know, both people, I have other dilemmas, but I want to keep maybe one or two per episode. So thank you for writing in. And I hope that maybe my sharings there maybe have helped, or just to know that you've been listened to and someone has heard you and your dilemma. So thank you very, very much. And like I said, if you want to write in and have your dilemma part of an episode, you can do so by writing to thegriefgang@gmail.com. And that is in the show notes of this episode. I'll be sure to put it in there. So before we go, I just wanted to give some notices. If you've been following The Grief Gang for a while, or in the past like six, 7 months, oh, I just got a tummy ache there. Oh, bad one. Ow. I'm on my courses, guys. I'm on my courses. Owie. Ouch. If you've been following The Grief Gang for like 6 months, you'll know that I am now mentoring people in either a group setting or in a one-to-one setting. And for the next cohort of groups, and if you have no idea what I am talking about, you can again visit the show notes in this episode, and there are links to my website where you can inquire about the mentoring. And in that as well, it will take you to my website and you will find all the information that you need there, and to find out how the mentoring works and what it is all about and why I've started it. And yeah, I just wanted to let you all know that for the next cohort of groups, which is going to be April all the way up until the end of May, there are limited spaces left in there. So I wanted to let people know what there is left available, because after this cohort starts in April, the next group will not be available to join until June, very much sort of like early mid-June. So if you want to join a group, this could be, you know, and soon, this could be the last group for, you know, a couple of months before I roll out the next cohort. So I have currently 2 spaces left in my sibling loss evening group, and to find out all the dates of those, again, they are on my website. So if you're interested in joining a sibling loss group, I have one available to you, and you can head to the website. And then I also have 3 spaces left in my parent loss lunchtime group. Again, you can head to my website and find out the dates and the timings of those to see if they suit you. And at present, my parent loss evening group is full. But if you would like to join the wait list in case anybody drops out or changes their mind, then you can do that as well by filling in an inquiry form via, again, my website. And I will get back to you and keep a note to let you know if any space has become available. But the groups have been amazing. Like, and that's not in a way of me being like, I've been doing something amazing. Like, they, for me, even alone, I'm like, I am learning so much. I am taking so much from them as well. And the feedback from people who have been attending is quite exactly the same, which is a total, you know, music to my ears. And I just feel so fortunate that I get to do this work every single day with people and provide spaces where we can talk about grief and it be like, when people leave the groups and we finish the groups and they're like, I didn't expect we'd laugh so much. And that's not even in a, you know, we've laughed our way out of, you know, out of it, or like, you know, dark humouring, and not actually like genuine laughter and connection. It has just been astounding for me, and seeing the friendships that have been blossoming from it. And the revelations, it's just unbelievable. And I just can't believe sometimes, like when I, like in the beginning of this, when I said like having down days or just feeling a little bit flat, or, you know, just grappling with everything that's happened in the past 6 months, being able to sit and be like, but every day I get to do something that I love. And that is so, so something not to take granted for. And I don't, you know. And I thank you all for being allowing me to do that and being part of that with me. So yeah, that's the updates for the groups. If you have any questions on them, I'm always happy to answer them. So you can either send me an email or a DM and I'll get back to you. But yeah, if you'd like to join a group, those are the remaining spaces for the April to May cohort. If not, I'll hopefully see you in maybe a June to July one. And there is scope for there to be in-person ones as well, which is really exciting in London. So I've got more to come on that for you. However, I'm going to wrap this bonus episode up. Thank you for listening. If you want to send in your dilemma, you know what to do. And I will see you on Wednesday. thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I appreciate more than you'll ever know your support of the show, and I hope this episode has supported you in one way or another. Spread the good word about the Grief Gang podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Subscribe to the show on your chosen listening platform so you're first to know when a new episode drops. Visit the show notes below to follow the Grief Gang on all social platforms, and pay our website a visit to find further resources and ways to get in contact and work with me. Look after yourself and know that you are never alone. I'll see you soon.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.